No, I started to say we've got to. We had the opportunity to record these. I don't know why anybody would want to listen to them after the event is over, unless they suffer from sleep deprivation or, you know, some sleeping disorder. I have had things recorded before, which I just say it'll help you cure insomnia and teach you to be a Sunday school leader at the same time. So, you know, I guess that's... or who have insomnia? Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, it's always a good idea. People will ask if you're. They'll say, "Well, I can't make it to the event. Are you going to record it?" They're not going to listen to it. But at least it's better than saying no. You know, it's like a Baptist telling you they'll pray about something. You know, and they say, "Well, pray about it." That means I'm buying some time before I say no. Most time, sometimes it's not that. So this is for care group leaders or whatever you call them. Do you call them something different than that? Care group leaders. Okay. Well, that's what they asked me to do, was to do something to encourage care group leaders, and so we're going to try to do that. You got a one-page handout there. It's going to be very easy to fill in, so we're gonna work our way through this. We don't have to get through it. And your questions or situations will be more significant to you and to me, and probably more applicable. If so, don't feel like you're interrupting anything. I don't have to get finished. So, and you're going to find that this is going to be easy to fill out. My name is David Francis. I retired about a year ago from Lifeway after 20 years as a director of the of Sunday school at Lifeway, helping be responsible for curriculum and promoting the work of Sunday school around the country. I've been here. I was 1 year early on when after Ben came, I did the David Fleming thing. I've been in Dr. Fleming's church. They're a great Sunday school church. Y'all are a great Sunday school church. Although you don't use the word Sunday school by, you know, or its functional equivalent by some other name. I typically say so. Anyway, glad you're here. Glad you do care groups. I'm going to try to challenge you a little bit with some things that maybe will provoke you to do better work. Okay. I'm married. Well, Vicki and I have been married for 46 years next month, and we have three sons, grown. They each have they're each on their first wife and have two kids apiece. They live in College Station, Texas, in bleed maroon. That is a weird place, but. Okay, yeah, you gotta whoop. I was in Riverside, California, one time at a church in Riverside, and just mentioned Texas A&M, and the whole room kind of went whoop, you know. And I said, anyway, Bakersfield, California, is really just Oklahoma surrounded by California. So if you've never been there, Buck Owens and anyhow, my mind is wandering. So my oldest son and his wife and their two kids live in College Station, Texas. My middle son and his wife and their two children live in Boston, Massachusetts. And my youngest son and his wife and their two little girls, Cora, our youngest, just celebrated her first birthday, live in Los Angeles, California. So we live in Nashville, you know. And we're about 3 or 4 hours from, the hardest one to get to is College Station. And the most expensive one to get to is College Station. But we have a lot of fun. Vicki and I first met in the second grade at David C. Crockett Elementary School in Greenville, Texas. And so, we live north of Nashville in Hendersonville. And Vicki's a retired school teacher. I'm a retired Lifeway guy. And so, that enough about me? So you kind of have an idea of part of what you do, in fact, kind of the theme of what you do, or overarching purpose of what you do as a care group leader, is to learn people's stories. You know, little at a time, a drip at a time. That's why I advocate keeping a notebook. You know, I said, well, is there an app for that? Yeah, probably. But, you know, just a notebook that you keep up with your people as you pray for them, as you learn things about their story and record them. And you know what I'm saying? You're learning people's story because people's stories are important. You know, do you like people? I love to hear people's stories. And so a great care group leader is kind of the theme of doing that, is to learn people's story and to, well, nobody's story is complete. See if you agree with this. Nobody's story is complete until it's intersected with God's story, which happens best in a community being enriched by everybody else's stories. Don't you think? Yeah, so anyway. Okay, we're never going to get through this if we don't start. So, in Life Bible Study, we really embrace, we have three basic expectations. You're not responsible for all of them. I don't know how Ben and your staff talks about the three purposes of Sunday school or small groups. Some people talk about reach, teach, and minister. Have you ever heard that? Or there are three basic purposes: learning the Bible, fellowshipping with one another, and reaching out to people, right? Which one are you of these? Expect new people every week, do you? You expect new people every week? Yeah? Expect new people every week. Expect a great Bible study session every week. And expect every member to be contacted every week. Which one is your job? It's the third one. These are our values in a quality life Bible study experience. Expect every member to be contacted every week. Doesn't mean you have to take them out for coffee. Doesn't mean you have to go to their house. Doesn't mean you have to call them. There are lots of ways to contact people, but people need to be contacted every week. Unlike this church, yeah, I've known some churches like this, like Dr. Fleming talked about the class with the recliners, you know. Oh, look at that! This is from these aren't recliners, but they're close to it. This is a church in Virginia. A friend sent this to me, and he said, "Yeah, there's the class. Do you think these people expect new people every week? No, because they've got their chair, right? They've got their place. I stepped into a ladies' class in between Denver and Colorado Springs. There's a little town there that went to Trinity Baptist Church. Went in this ladies' class that had like four tables shoved together. And around the table were chairs. Every one of them had some custom-made pad. Either they had made it themselves or they'd bought it at a craft fair or something. Okay? And so even if they weren't there, that chair was claimed. You getting the picture for me? Around the perimeter of the room were a various assortment of different colors and kinds of folding chairs. And so I just asked, who are those chairs for? And without missing a beat, the teacher said, oh, that's in case we have any guests. Which the smart aleck responded, well, I'm sure they'll feel very welcome. Well, they were not, are they? No. Expect it will revolutionize the Sunday school if you expect new people every week. If you can assign, since you're here for the training, ask for the new people or some of the new people to be assigned to you so you can start caring for them right away. A great, engaging care group system employs organization. This is, I don't know how you do it. These are the principles. If you weren't doing care group ministry and you were here to find out about it and you were going to help your class or church set it up, these are some of the organizational principles I would suggest that you consider, okay? If I was your minister of education, this is what I would want you to do. That would be a care group leader for every 5 to 7 men or women. Every 5 to 7 men or women. Some churches have couples care groups, they think. And a couple is assigned as a care group leader for couples or for mixed genders. This is what happens in those kind of situations. The women call the women. The men neither call the men nor get called by the men. And so really all you have in a co-ed class, a couples class, is women care group leaders. You need to, plus just all, for a lot of reasons, you ought to have a single gender you're responsible for. If you're a woman, you ought to have 5 to 7 women that you contact. And men ought to be contacted by men. 5 to 7 women might take, depending on how well you get to know these people, might take 5 to 7 hours. For the men, it'll take 5 to 7 minutes. You know, my wife doesn't think we've had a conversation with the kids unless we've talked for an hour. You know? And so that's exactly. Men don't get cared for in churches, y'all. Men do not get cared for because men don't step up to either be care group leaders or anyway. And then you need to have a care group leader for every care group. Duh. You know? Most classes need more care groups than they have care group leaders. Y'all follow, seen the pattern of the blanks here? Yeah. Every class leader is a care group leader. Even if they have another job, they're the fellowship leader, or they're the inreach leader, or they're the outreach leader, or they're the teacher. Everybody ought to be a care group. Everybody ought to have 5 to 7 men or women that they're responsible for, in addition to whatever their other role is. And the last point, every care group leader has a care group leader. The care group, if the class is of the right size, the care group leader's care group leader is the teacher. It's the grand pyramid scheme, spiritual pyramid scheme. Because the point is, you want all the, information about that you've discovered about somebody's story that somebody else, that the teacher needs to know, that maybe they need to pass along to a staff member, so that people can receive the kind of care that they, that is not everything, the big stuff, then you need. So if you can imagine, I'm going to have to move. This is probably people that are not listening to this or listening to this and not awake, they're not asleep yet. I'm going to move to the blackboard. So you're not going to hear me very well. So say we're starting a brand new class. Starting a brand new class. It's small. Y'all ever been in a new class? You know, new class kind of. Yeah, kind of tends to struggle a little bit. We're in a relatively new class, has about 12 people on it. It's a good number. Jesus had 12. Pretty good. It's a good number. If you have three leaders, if you got a teacher that's responsible for teaching, and you got an outreach leader that's responsible for outreach, and you've got one person who's mostly responsible for fellowship and care, I'll say the fellowship leader, you're going to run out of people really fast. And so outreach leader is also a care group leader. Fellowship leader is also a group leader. And then maybe a couple other people are group leaders. And their group leader is the teacher. Is it making sense? And so you see how that kind of works? Okay. So if it's not that way, you say, we went to this conference and the guy who until he retired was the Sunday school expert for our Southern Baptist Convention said that we need a care group. If you're a care group leader, don't you need a care group leader? Okay. Enjoying prioritization. This is either really clever or really corny alliteration, but I was having fun with it. So enjoying prioritization. Priority number one, we're organizing a new class. You guys are going to be the biggest. They're going to be the experts in how to set up a care group system in a class. Priority one. This may surprise you. I believe priority one needs to be every associate member or whatever you call it. It's the people that would be in your class on Sundays, except they're out serving in preschool children and students. They're your missionaries to kids. They're your missionaries to the next generation. And they ought to get the best care. If you only have one care group leader or two care group leaders, the first priority is to make sure, I have a real conviction about it, is to make sure that the people who would be in your class that would come to your parties, but they're not there on Sunday mornings because they're teaching preschoolers or teaching children or teaching adults, that they should be the number one priority, and that their care group leader ought to be their representative to the class. Bring their prayer requests to the class. Make sure we're not forgotten. You know, a lot of people don't serve in preschool children and students because that's what they say. My class forgets about me. Why would they say such a thing? Because their class forgets about them. If you've ever done it, they don't mean to forget you. They just do. This is the put their names on the wall. Oh, this is what First Baptist Church Norfolk, Virginia did. You can tell how big these are. They put all of their preschool and children and student workers, they actually did their adults too, and put their put their names on the wall. I was in a conference, and all three of these ladies were in the conference, and I said, "How would you ever quit? Would you go by with your grandchildren and go, yeah, see that kind of faded spot there? That's where Grandma's picture used to be when I used to serve." We're unlikely going to do that, but we could. With the digital camera stuff, you could have a poster that said, "Our missionaries to the next generation." And keep them before the class because they're serving, and okay, y'all get the idea, right? I got to back up. Priority number two, although I bet you know what goes in the blank, every member with any level of activity. You usually have a lot more people on the roll, the ministry list, than you've got care group leaders to take care of them. So you've got two options. Either you load up every care group leader with more people than they can handle, or you just have to just let it go as far as you can until you get some more care group leaders. I'm sort of a balanced opinion, but I mostly say let's take care of the ones who haven't dropped out yet first. That makes sense? On somebody else's watch, these other people became inactive, and we would love to reclaim them. But until we do, our next gen leaders are our first priority, and then let's divide them up. The most creative idea I've heard is a new class got together with its care group leaders, met at the teacher's house, and they just had like an NFL draft or an NBA draft. And they just went around the room, and the people aren't in the room, so it's not like you're on the playground and you're picking somebody to be on your team to play football. They just went around the room and picked the people. It was better if they knew the person already, had a relationship with them. It was better if they already had a common interest, like golf or fishing or woodworking or whatever their sewing or whatever their interests were, because that would make them have an affinity with that person. As they went around, you eventually get to, if you have enough care group leaders, you get to priority number three. Because our goal would be that even the chronic absentees on the ministry list, the ones that nobody really knows, that they would have a care group leader too. But that no one care group leader would be loaded up with just those people, that you would go around and say if you're going to do kind of the max seven, and you can do more. Some people have higher capacity than others. I just like five to seven because it's because you can do one a day. You know, make a contact one a day. But if you can get this far, this is good to be able to assign the absentee members to the list. Let me pause for a second. I'm talking really fast. Okay. All right. Some churches ask their care group leaders to do more. I'm not suggesting this is a report more than you ought to do this. This is some things that this is what I would push for if I was setting up a care group system in the church. By the way, I have come to the conviction over the last several years that one of the really important tasks of a Life Bible Study Sunday School, we call it Connect Groups at our church. My wife doesn't. She said, "I'm not calling it Connect Groups, it's Sunday School." You know, so some of y'all are the same way. You know, it's Sunday School, our Sunday School class, that we would try to do more. One would be, you know, there's a lot of churches that do this because Alan Taylor, who succeeded me as the director of Sunday School, and y'all, I think y'all have had Alan in your church. You remember he's like a KJV spouting coach, football coach. If you've ever had if Ben's ever had Alan here, you remember Alan being here. Sunday School is about reach, teach, and minister. And so they do this at where he served at First Baptist Church, Woodstock, Georgia. 10 minutes of every class session. Either at the beginning or the end, they used to do it at the beginning and discovered it at the end worked better. The class actually breaks into its care groups and does prayer. And does anybody know where where so and so is in smaller groups? From an economic standpoint, it actually takes less time to devote 10 minutes to break into your actual care groups, if the room's big enough to do it, to break into your actual care groups, than it is to just do everybody opening up the floor to a big room and doing the prayer request. And it's more personal. And if it's just women and just men, and you got this private smaller group, people will share more deeply. If it's a co-ed group, people are not going to they're not going to share the stuff they would share in a single gender group that's small. They just won't. And so, you know, if this would be almost every leader frets over, I've got a lot of teaching to do, and we're wasting a lot of time on prayer requests. Well, you never waste time when you're praying to the God of the universe on behalf of the children He loves. That's right. You know, it's a balancing kind of a thing. This is a really good device for doing something like that. When I came in here today, there were two columns of chairs with no space in between them, in straight rows running about like that. Instead of this, I rearranged the room to look like this. You know, you got this huge room and you got these chairs all squashed together. Adults don't want to sit on top of each other, okay? You know. Some churches, then, if they've set the room up so that it lends itself to go ahead and getting into your care, just sit by care groups. I notice a lot of your classes have tables, which, you know, tables are good, tables are bad. But you could set up, this room could be set up in such a way for the class that uses this room could set up the room in its care groups. Or over a period of time, know that I've got 8 people in my care group, and so about half of them come. Most of them, there's about 6 here most of the time, so we'll ask them to set up 6 chairs, and we'll do the rearranging when we need to. But you got the picture? And so not only does that facilitate making the 10-minute prayer time go better, but if they wanted to, the teacher could then already have discussion groups and to say, I've got a question written up here on the board, and I'm gonna sit down. Will love it. Because again, more discussion, therefore more learning, more application will take place in 4 or 5 minutes. And you don't have to turn the chairs around. This is what adults almost always do when the word group, you know, well, divide into groups. Yeah, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to do that. You know, and most teachers go, my class doesn't want to do that. They want to, I've studied hard all week long and I brought 14 legal pad sized sheets of paper. They want to hear me talk. No, they don't. And so, you know, start off. Some churches also ask their care group leaders. They know the questions ahead of time that they're going to be asked, or it's up here, and they just lead a discussion. Okay. This is a growing trend. It's called the D group, and it's an idea, a concept that's being used successfully in actually a growing number of churches where people get together sometime, not everybody, just the people who want to go deeper, say 2 or 3 people from your care group who want to get together sometime during the week and have a little bit more discussion about the Bible passage that you studied on Sunday. That's something that a care group leader could do. Now, this is getting to be, it sounds like a harder job than just contacting 5 to 7 men or women every week, doesn't it? And so it's not for everybody, but what it does, if you have a really well-designed care group system, not only is it very clear what your job is and what's expected of you, and it's an important job, but it also, it erases unnecessary duplicate effort. If you've got men and women care groups, just follow me on this. Say your women's ministry needed to communicate something about the women's ministry. What would be a natural way to communicate that in a widespread way? Through the care group leaders who are responsible for women. Likewise with the men's ministry. If there was a men's ministry thing, you could communicate. And everybody likes excuses to call or email or something like that, right? It's always good to have an excuse, right? You know, I mean, I always wanted to have something. I mean, I used to buy cups and pens and magazines and all kinds of stuff so that anybody who was brave enough to go visit somebody at their house would have some. You'd have a reason for doing it. We have a reason if you use Sunday school curriculum. You have a reason 4 times a year. Take them their Sunday school book. You know, go knock on the door. Now, I taught our people. I've served in Dallas. Dallas isn't nearly as big as Houston. But even in Dallas, I taught a system called Try Not to Get In. And I meant it, you know. Hey, Giovanna, is that how you say? Giovanna, David and Becky and Sam from Sunday school, we don't want to come in. As fast as you can get it out of your mouth. Because people are going like, phew. Man, I'm so glad because my house is a mess and, you know, I had to put on pants to come to the door or whatever, you know. Oh, this is being recorded. Okay, edit that out. But it's always good to have an excuse. Same thing when you call or email or text or whatever we do. Here's what this might look like. There's a lot of your rooms that are already set up like this. I don't know if your class is set up like this or not, but you can do it with chairs or tables. And it's just this is the problem and the solution for classes that don't have any discussion. And it's what I just demonstrated a minute ago, you know, is just sit down. And then I tell teachers, because it'll get out of control. Yes.
People that say they don't like discussion, you can't get them to stop. So I've got a visual cue, right? I sat down. Okay, enough of this nonsense. I got to teach y'all some stuff. I stand back up, everybody. Then eventually people will learn the routine, right? Okay. And I think most of you would be ready to do that.
Care group leaders use, I'm going to fool you here because they're going to have some different words. Care group leaders use every device and channel available to them. You don't. What are some of the ways that we can contact people now that we couldn't used to? Text. In fact, if you were a care group leader for a millennial, yeah, you can be careful. Yeah, be careful. There's lots of ways that there are social media ways that are available to us. I've just recently learned this from especially my youngest kids. Millennials, as a general rule, I hate to ascribe characteristics to an entire generation, you know, because then they turn around and ascribe them to us. As a general rule, I'm learning that millennials are saying like, well, they had the nerve to call me without texting me first to tell me they were going to call me. Well, I didn't know. Well, I don't want to offend people. Do you want to learn? So, you know, text somebody and, you know, send a text. Say, I'm so-and-so, just calling because we were glad you visited our Life Bible Study group on Sunday. Would it be okay if I called a little bit later for us to have a conversation? That makes sense? What are some other devices and channels we can use? Anybody have a Facebook group for your class? Okay, Facebook group. Maybe a closed group, or is y'all's like private, Sean? Or okay. 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 We just have basically we have some people that are against Facebook in our Sunday school class. I mean, our Connect group, and the wife of our teacher, she's real faithful about. So every Wednesday, we get an email with a misspelled prayer request. It's good enough, and people respond back and forth, kind of set up a little community thing. That's what you do, and so people are they share. It approaches community. So there's a couple of nevers here. Care group leaders never mention attendance. Okay, now follow me here. You're contacting everybody every week, not just the people who are absent. Therefore, since you're contacting them every week, you don't have to talk about attendance, because that's not why you're calling. That's not why you're texting. That's not why you're emailing. You're not doing that to get them to come back and be counted in your class. You're doing that because you're responsible for keeping track of their story. And anything in their story that changes or becomes something that you need to respond to, or somebody needs to respond to, or somebody needs to know so that they can respond to. You can't go see somebody in the hospital if you don't know they're in the hospital. And guess what? Somebody could attend your class on Sunday and have an emergency on Tuesday and have to go to the hospital. And if you're only contacting absentees, do I need to keep going on this? You following the thing? You got it, okay? Iris, you got it, okay? You know, you can be my, we got it, we got it. You can stop now. Somebody told me one time, when you make the sale, stop selling, okay? Yes. You could. Yeah. I wouldn't. No. Because they'll tell you anyway. See, here's the thing. Here's the beauty of this. If you just call to check in and how you're doing, hey, just call. Because you do it every week. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it every week. I'm just making my call. It's not because you weren't there this afternoon. We missed you. But you might bring it up if they don't. Most of the time, they'll bring it up first. You'll call and say, hey, just calling to check in, see how it's going. Oh, well, I've kind of been under the weather. I really hated missing the class meeting today. I was really looking forward to it. We missed you too. We were wondering what happened. They'll bring it up. They'll bring it up, and you don't have to. We want people to look forward to. You don't want to be the person who scolds people for not being there. You want to be the person who cares about them and wants to get to know them better and pass along anything that's some spiritual, physical, or psychological, or other occult interruption in their life that needs prayer or attention. You know why most people drop out of church? Because something happens that maybe they ought not, maybe logically they ought not to feel bad about this, but that they do. They feel bad that nobody responded. And somebody should have responded. Well, you can't respond if you don't know. And sometimes once a week might not be enough, but at least it's you don't want to badger people. And if somebody tells you that, you know, you're really bugging me, I wish you would stop calling me, you know, don't you to call them? Well, you want to honor that. You want to honor that. Now, I'm a real honest kind of guy. I will tell them the consequences of that. I've had conversations with people that say, you know, just drop me from that role. Okay, well, we'll be willing to do that, but we'd rather not. See, we prefer to call it a ministry list than a role, because being on somebody's role kind of implies that you have an obligation to the class. Being on a ministry list, that's what we call it, because we feel like we have an obligation to you, whether you ever attend or not. And we would love to continue to stay in touch with you and know what's going on in your life, pray for you when you have a need. But we'll, if you really want us to stop, we'll stop. But we'd really like to keep you on our ministry list. You sure you wouldn't reconsider? This is what I tell leaders who come in and say. In fact, this is, don't tell me the statistic, because I hate the statistic. When somebody says, we have 83% of our enrollment attending. You know what I want to tell you? Shame on you. It means you have dropped some people from your role that because, and especially if they didn't ask. Leaders would come in all the time and ask me, David, can we drop so-and-so from our role? I say, well, let's. I don't know that person. Let me just ask you this. If we drop them for the role, what's the worst thing that could happen to them? Is the worst thing that could happen to them is that nobody will ever call them again and no church will ever contact them again, and when they die, they'll go to heaven and be with Jesus for eternity. If that's the worst thing that can happen to them, maybe so. If the worst thing that can happen to them is that no church ever anywhere will have their name and nobody will ever call them again, no one will ever send them any mail again, no one will ever pray for them again, and when they die, they will spend eternity separated from God. If that's the worst thing that can happen to them, or if you don't know that's the worst thing that can happen to them, why don't you leave them on your list and contact them every once in a while? Maybe take them a Sunday school book and try not to get in and say, we'd like for you to be a part of our class. And then care group leaders never forget about prayer. Because at the end of the day, that's why we do this. We do this to learn what needs are in people's lives and what they need us to pray for, what the teacher needs to pray for. See, teachers need this kind of information because teachers should teach to meet needs. And the only way they're going to be able to teach to meet needs is that they know the needs. And the best way to know the needs of your members of your flock is for under-shepherds to be helping you shepherd the people and let you know what's going on in their lives so that as you study God's Word, the Holy Spirit can bring to your mind the things that are going on in the lives of your flock so that you can be thinking about that while you're preparing the lesson. Care group leaders are really significant. Really, really significant. Here's everybody's got a story. Everybody's story is significant. Nobody's story is complete until it's intersected with God's story. That happens best in a community, being enriched by the stories of other people. And a lot of people need to know this. And the care group leader may be the first person to deliver this to them. The last chapter of their story is not written yet. They can be forgiven. They can be healed. They can find help. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that that the story wasn't complete after the resurrection at the seashore in Galilee, and Peter and the other guys are out fishing and they didn't catch anything. Just like they hadn't one time before. And a familiar voice came from the shore. Peter beat himself up because he denied Jesus just like Jesus said he would. And every day when he hears a rooster crow, he remembers that. And on the shore is somebody, and there's a fire on the shore. And John says, it's the Lord. And Peter jumps in and swims about a football field length to the shore, and Jesus restores him. Aren't you glad that his story wasn't finished there? Aren't you glad that David's story didn't end with the affair with Bathsheba and murdering her husband to cover it up? And I'm sad when I read about the baby that died because of that pregnancy. But God is so gracious, isn't he? The story's not finished. The story's not finished. Because we learn that David went in to comfort his wife Bathsheba, and they got pregnant again. And Israel's greatest king, from a worldly standpoint, Solomon, was God's forgiveness. Rahab the harlot, and on and on and on. People need to know the last chapter of their story is not written yet, and you're the type of person who can help deliver that message. Got a couple of minutes. Anybody Is a care group leader an important role? Then tell the story. And Father, these fine folks, mostly female, of course. Father, we really did. We're sorry we don't love people enough to call them a little bit. But Father, would you help us figure out ways to challenge? Because families are messed up because Daddy doesn't go to church, and so we need men to step up. So help us to be advocates of that. Thank you for these ladies who do faithfully the work of helping the great shepherd and the teacher assigned to them, their shepherd, do their job of shepherding people well. And I just pray that you'd give them fresh and new ideas about how to do that with new energy and devotion and power and love, and that you would bless them as much as they are a blessing to the people they call every week, whether they're there or not. In Jesus' name, amen. Survey. Sean, you want to tell them about that?
I don't know if all of y'all did the 41411 Bentley. Y'all should have just gotten a text. Mine just came in asking you to fill out the survey from the class. You can do it while you're sitting in the other class or while you're finishing up.
Our speaker did a really good job.